We pray for these other preachers and wherever they preach at, wherever they stand to proclaim your word. Lord, we pray that they will have a residue of the revival and an anointing to follow them, to go with them wherever they go in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I pray for each and every one of these that are here under the sound of my voice. Lord God, that you would give a special blessing to Choctaw Island for being here tonight and to singing songs of glory. Lord, I pray, Father, for the deacons and the ministers of this place, Lord God, and the officers of this place, Father, that you would give them guidance and understanding and wisdom to let them know, Lord God, that they got to ride this wave out and they got to continue on doing the work of the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you give me clarity of thought, that you'd give me precision of speech, that my tongue will be as the pen of a ready writer and the hearts of the hearers will be the tablet in which I shall write upon the word of faith, the word of God that brings healing to deliverance, power, peace, and even prosperity to all of them that hear and believe. Father, I thank you now, God, that you've given me the anointing that makes preaching easy. I thank you, Lord God, that you've given me the word of God, given us the word. We thank you for the word that strengthens and sustains us, the Holy Ghost who guides us and gives to us what belongs to you, and the blood of Jesus that covers us, cures us, cleanses us, and connects us to you. We thank you, Lord. We give you glory. We praise and honor your name. We glorify you today, Lord God. God, you're much bigger than all of our situations, and so we come leaning and depending on you, and you're going to make a way. You're going to show yourself strong. We thank you right now, God, and Father, we thank you for looking over the celestial banisters of heaven and pouring us out a blessing that we don't have room enough to receive, so that we be able to share with our loved ones and our friends and even our enemies. Thank you, Lord God, and Father, after you've healed and delivered, after you've set free, after you've done all you want to do in this service, we'll be careful to give you the glory, honor, and the praise, and we will always, Lord God, give you total credit, and we will join in with the many winged seraphim and the many eyed cherubim that chant and declare one to another that you are holy. You are holy. You are holy, God, and your glory fills the earth. We thank you now. We praise you now. We magnify you, and we give you total praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Prayer. The first step to revival. The grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. Yes, verse 15, I'm trying to give it all to you and go fast as I can here. Verse 15 says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he had committed sin, he shall be forgiven. I like that. Now, we understand there are circumstances in which we need to pray, and then there is cheerfulness in prayer. Then we need to call for others to come and what? Pray for us. But then we got to understand that there's conversion in prayer. This is why we need a revival of prayer. It's because when we pray, the situation or circumstance will change. When we pray, then we'll find ourselves getting cheerful, but also when we pray, we'll find some people being converted. If the church's mission is anything other than conversion, then our mission is wrong. We need to convert people. You know, I often talk to people about certain things, and I'm going to say this, but I'm not looking to be offensive to anybody, and people can do what they want to do, and the law can be what the law is. But I was talking to somebody, and I said, well, you know, when they was talking about the gay marriage thing, we can't ignore that. That is true. It has happened, right? And I told them, I said, well, preachers, and they were like, well, let you know, people can do what they want. We got to love them. We got to love them. We got to love them. I said, yeah, we do. We got to love them. But at the same time, if I love you enough to tell you that down the road, if you keep driving 70 miles per hour, that the road stops and it's a cliff that you're going to go off of, I don't tell them that, then I really don't love them. Right? And so when society has decided that something is not a sin, do we partake in it and say we just like society? It's not. Oh, come on and say amen. The reason why it is important for us to pay attention is because when people start celebrating sin and saying it's no longer a sin, then we got a problem. You don't hear anybody call the murderer up and say, oh, good deal, man, you murdered six people and pat them on the back. No, but they were congratulating people, right? So we've celebrated, and that's like shaking our fists in God's face and saying, God, you're going to accept whatever we got to give you. Now, on the other hand here, we got to make sure that we keep what God God say as the standard, and I'm not telling you to go condemn people and beat people down, but we have to keep what God say as a standard, because without that, there will be no conversion. Because people will think that this is right according to the law of the land, and since it's right, I don't need to be saved nor converted. Oh, come on and say amen. And so if they think that they don't need conversion, and if they think that they don't need to be saved and they need a savior, and if they think they're all right, they're fooling themselves, deceiving themselves, as the Bible said. And we can't afford to let people deceive or fool themselves, because I love them enough that I want them to go to heaven with me. So therefore I tell them that that's a sickness and you need a savior to heal you, just like I did when I was a sinner. If you don't recognize that that's a sin and you need a savior, then that is a problem. And that's why conversion is important, and that's why prayer in the church is important, because people can't be converted until somebody pray. Why do you think we always, when they come up, we go through the sinner's prayer with them? We go through the confession, confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart. It's because prayer changes them. They may not stop doing everything they've been doing all this time. They may still do a little bit. They may still go out and do some stuff. But what we got to understand is the seed has been planted. And now, you know, none of us completely stop sinning. Tell the truth in here. Shame the devil in here. None of us completely. We still got stinking thinking. We still lie. We still cuss. We still got our hidden sin, the iniquity in our heart. Come on and say amen here. And since we got that, we got to understand that it not does not make us sin less, but it makes us sin less and less and less. In other words, I get to a place where I don't do the things I used to do. That don't interest me anymore. Oh yeah, he came and he's supposed to be saved, but I seen him buying a beer the other day. Oh, we just gonna pray for him, because sooner or later God will take that desire and give him another desire. He'll stop drinking beer and desire the sincere milk of the word. Preaching here. Somebody help me, Holy Ghost. So we got to understand conversion is important. He says that the prayer of faith, when you pray believing God, when you pray trusting God, when you pray putting it back on God. See, what we got messed up at is that we start looking at certain people that's able to do certain things. We want Superman to pray for us, but what if Superman come as Clark Kent today and he can't pray? Then you got to rely on the person who made him Superman. You got to rely on Jesus. You got to rely on God. And so I need to not put my faith in man, but I got to put my faith in God. Oh, come on and say amen. He said, "He'll save the sick and the Lord shall raise him up." Look at what happens when we pray. The people get converted, then they become raised up. And he said, if he had committed sins, they are forgiven. You ain't got to go back and rehearse their sin. You ain't got to go back and talk about what they did. You don't have to remind them of who they are, because they already know better than you know. Come on. We got to understand that when we pray for them, we need to put it in God's hand and let God deal with them. They may not be all they supposed to be today, and neither are we. But thank God we ain't what we used to be. I'm on my way. I'm progressing. I'm becoming better. I'm not how I used to be, because last year I might have got busy with you if you came in my face. But this year, I say I'm gonna give you a pass, because Jesus gave me one. Preaching here. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. We have to learn that conversion has to happen. But then he goes on, he says, confess your faults one to another. And so after there's a conversion, there got to be a confession. When we pray, you can't help but confess your faults, because you know what you've done. You know how bad off you are. You know how guilty you are on the inside. That's why when some people pray, if you just listen, they'll say, "Father, forgive me as I pray." Huh? Come on and say amen. They'll start talking about forgiveness and stuff like that. And because we know we need to confess our faults one to another, but we got to be careful on who one to another is, because you got some of them others that like to gossip. I told this story that there was some preachers. They said, oh, they had started confessing their sins. They said, "Preachers, I'm so glad that we have an outlet. We can come together. We can talk and we can confess our sins and tell each other what happened and what's wrong. And we can talk about this." And one guy said, "You know, I want to confess that I love to chase women." The other guy said, "Oh, well, I love to smoke marijuana." The other guy said, "Well, I love to drink." And the last guy said, "Man, brothers, I'm so glad we had this, because I love to gossip." You see, you got to be careful, amen, who you confess your sins, your faults to. Come on. But the Bible does say in Galatians 6:1, he said, brethren, if there be one overtaken in fault, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself. What would I want somebody to do for me? Would I want them to talk about me? No. Would I want them to drag my name down? No. I would want them to pray for me. So I'm going to do for you what I would have somebody do for me. I'm going to consider who you are, and I know you got some faults, but I'm going to pray you through. Come on and say hallelujah. Why do I need to pray? He said, and confess my faults and pray for one another, because we got some sickness in here. The reason why we got more people sick in the church, I remember a time in the church, you didn't have but probably a couple of folks that was on the sick and shut-in list. But now we got a lot of folks sick because we ain't praying for one another. We tell each other, I'm praying for you, but we're not really praying. We think about it, we say, Lord, bless them, and that's about all we do. Come on and admit that. Yeah, say, that's me, Pastor. I say, Lord, bless them, But we got to what? Pray for one another. Why? That we may be healed. There's some sickness among us. There's spiritual sickness. There's physical sickness. There is soul sickness, emotional sickness, There's some mind sickness, amen? And we need to be what? Healed from it. And then guess what he says? Be effectual. Fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. He tells us about fervency in prayer. In other words, he's saying the word effectual, fervent is one word, and it's the word energio in the Greek, which means to be active, to be efficient, to be effectual, to show work. Amen. And so we need to show some work by expressing some energy in prayer. I like it when we have prayer meetings where people start sweating. Because I know they're praying. They're putting their heart and soul in everything that they did. The Bible said when Jesus prayed, he prayed as it was great drops of sweat. And here we are in our air condition and we don't even want to open our mouth. I guarantee if I walked out there today and gave the mic to a random person and say pray, we'll be like, uh-oh. But we ought to be able to pray at a drop of a hat. We ought to be able to pray at the drop of a dime and not worry about who's going to hear it, because God's hearing what I got to say. I'm not praying to you anyway. You're not my God. I don't care if you don't think I can pray. Who is the judge and what is the standard of, well, he can pray? You know who can pray? A person who get prayers answered. He said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It overcomes much. It subdues much. It conquers much. And so I want people praying with me and for me, that I don't care if you don't have a hum when you preach. I don't care if you don't know all the ways to put the words when you pray. I don't care if you don't know where to put your eyes and ears, and I don't care if you stumble and stutter a bit on what you want to say, but as long as your heart is in what you got to say, I believe God hears you, because the Bible even tells us, and I'm trying to finish this, but the Bible even tells us that God knows what we're going to pray for before we open our mouth to speak. So it don't matter what you try to think of in your head to say, and that's why some people, all you got to say is, Lord, have mercy. Because when you begin to say, Lord, have mercy, that says a lot. It says, Lord, I thank you that you ain't give me what I really deserve. But God, you gave me what I didn't deserve. Come on. You gave me grace because I didn't deserve it. But you gave me mercy because I really deserve death. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. I'm almost done. I'm getting there. Come on and say amen here. He says that we need to learn how to pray for who? One another. So that means that we need to learn how to care in prayer. We need to learn how to care for one another when we pray. Oh, Lord, help me today. Y'all looking at me, I hope you're getting this, because I don't know if I can do it again. He says prayer is the first step to revival. Revival is resuscitation. Revival is resurrection. If I want to come back from my trouble, if I want to come back from a big setback, I got to pray. Come on and say amen. Mm-hmm. He says now in verse 17 through 20, I'm going to try to close it out here. He says Elijah was a man of subject to like passions. Elijah was no different than us. He was a man subject of like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly. Amen. He prayed earnestly. In other words, he was he prayed aloud, and he prayed hard, and he prayed constantly. He continued to pray that it might not rain. And I don't understand why Elijah would even pray that it not rain, because it was going to affect him too. But what happened is, let me tell you what had happened was, God had spoke to him and said, Elijah, it's not going to rain. And what he did, he began to pray what we say we pray, but we don't really pray. He began to pray the will of God. See, when you pray in the spirit, God speaks to you. And even if you know it's going to affect you, just like the world getting bad, it's going to affect me, but I'm praying God's will be done. We always say we pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But we're not praying that, because we'll say thy kingdom come and thy will be done. And God say, well, at this time it's going to be a drought and your finances are going to get a little bit low. We say, oh, that's a lie. We rebuke the devil. But God is not man that he should lie. But Elijah, he prayed, and what he prayed affected him. What he prayed, it affected him to where he had to rely on a brook. Then he had to rely on a raven. He didn't have nothing to eat. It dried up the field that he was eating his corn from too. Lord, help me, Holy Ghost. But when we pray the way God wants us to pray, we say, God, if it happens, I don't know how I'm going to survive other than by you. God says, when you pray, I want you to rely on me to bring it to pass. Don't be looking for somebody else to bring it. Stop looking for people. And if they don't come, then you stop looking. If they don't call, then you stop worrying about whether or not they call. You start looking and leaning on God. There's too many of us, we looking and we leaning on people. Oh, so-and-so ain't text me. They know I'm going through this. I ain't see their face. They know they could have came by my house. They passed right by and tooted the horn. Didn't stop. We got to stop that mess, because so-and-so could be going through too. So-and-so can be weak too. So-and-so may not have it together either, and they don't want to bring that mess to you, because you already messed up yourself. Come on and say hallelujah here. And we need to understand that God wants us to pray and depend on him and rely on him. He prayed that it wouldn't rain for 3.5 years. Now, I don't know why he would do that unless he knew what God wanted. When I pray, I need to pray what God wants. But the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, the Bible says that we don't even know what to pray for. He said, but the Spirit of God make it intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Because we know you're not going to pray the way you should pray. God said, I'm giving you the Holy Ghost, and he'll make groanings that can't be uttered, and you won't be able to understand it. You won't be able to figure it out, but God will begin to do it for you. Do I have any witnesses here? He said, Elijah said it wouldn't rain for 3.5 years, but then after 3.5 years, he waited and it rained. He began to go back and pray. God said, now it's time to rain. After 3.5 years, people don't expect it to do anything. The heavens were shut up, but he went down and he began to pray. The Bible say he put his head between his knees. He got a posture for prayer. Many times we don't have a posture for prayer. We got a posture for everything else. If we say praise the Lord, everybody do that. But where are the prayers in here? Oh, come on and say amen. We got to quit playing and start praying. We need to learn how to pray. But he said it rained not for 3.5 years, but 3.5 years later, he began to pray, and he told his servant, he said, go out and see what you can see. His servant said, I don't see a thing, but he kept on praying. He said, now go back out and see what else you can see. He said, I don't see nothing else, but he kept on praying. But then he came back. He said, what do you see now? He said, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. In other words, God don't need a big thing. He don't need a whole lot of stuff that he can do something with. There was a sound of abundance of rain before the rain got there. He said, I hear a sound of an abundance of rain. What was he saying there? He said, I've been in prayer, and I got in a place in the heavenlies, and I got to a place where it looked like it wasn't going to work, but then I kept on praying. praying, and God allowed me to hear something that I couldn't hear unless I was in prayer. You see, some of us wondering what God is saying. You won't ever know what God is saying if you don't keep your ear to God's lips and say, God, what is it you want me to do? God, what is it that you want to happen? Do I have any witnesses? But he said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. And the Bible says that he got up and he ran, and he outran a horse. Do I have anybody? If you want to be able to be supernatural, do the supernatural things, then you got to be able to pray. Who else could outrun a horse except for a man that just got out of a hot prayer meeting? Because I feel energized. I feel pretty good. I feel like I can run through a troop. I feel like I can leap over a wall. See, Superman wasn't the first one. David said that first. Do I have anybody in here that realized the first step to revival is that we pray? He said, and he prayed again, and the earth gave her fruit. What are you saying now? When it began to rain, automatically things started to grow. See, when you pray, you ain't got to plant no seeds. Oh, I wish I had somebody. The seeds that you put in the ground a year ago, you need to water those seeds with prayer. The seeds that you put in those children, and it looked like they got worse when you start talking to them, you need to go back and pray. Quit trying to shake it out of them. Quit trying to yank it out of them. Quit trying to beat it out of them. And say, Lord, I'm putting them in your hand. I pray, God, you protect them. Oh, come on and say amen. While they do whatever they want to do. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. But I want to remind you to keep on praying, because Jesus kept on praying. The Bible said he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, and my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. He said that I'm about to go, but I need to talk to my Father first. Oh, come on and say amen. We always want to talk to everybody else, but we need to go back and talk to the Father. I'm quit talking to everybody. Get off the telephone and get on the heaven phone and ring Jesus up in your heart. There used to be an old song that said, call him up and tell him what you want. If you need your soul saved, tell him what you want. Oh, come on and say amen here. But when Jesus went to pray, he said, I want to take a few people with me. He took Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John went to sleep on him. But what we got to understand here is Jesus was letting us know that the best friend you got probably ain't praying hard for you, hard as you think they are. But Jesus prayed his own self. He went back and said, you can't pray 1 hour. That's all I need is an hour of your time. You see, we ask you to come to church for an hour, but that might take time off of my show. I'm gonna miss my show. If I go Wednesday night Bible study, I'm gonna miss the football game, because I know the pastor gonna be long. After we get communion, we're going to miss it to halftime. Well, let me tell you something. Even if they don't pray, you still got to get on your knees and begin to pray. If you read the text where Jesus went, he went down to pray. The disciples stopped here, but Jesus went a little bit further. If you want your life to be changed, you got to go a little bit further. You can't stop where everybody else stopped. You can't pray just like they prayed. Oh, come on and say amen. I gotta go a little bit further. Say yeah. But when Jesus got through praying, he said, not my will, but my will. Let it be done. Whenever you learn to pray, you stop complaining about it, and you say, Lord, whatever it is you want to do in my life, here I am. Come on and say yeah. Come on and shout hallelujah. But when he did that,
that?
He said to go on and sleep on. He said the Son of Man is already betrayed. Jesus knew what was going to happen. He didn't pray to try to stop it, but he prayed to get strength so that he can walk right through it. Many of us, we try to stop it. We get mad about it. But Jesus said, just pray on, my child. Oh, come on and say, yeah. When they betrayed him, he didn't get mad because he was prayed up. When they plucked his beard out, he didn't say a mumbling word. When they beat him, because he was prayed up. We got to learn how to go through our beating and crucifixion because we're prayed up. When they hung him high and they stretched him wide, the only thing that was important to him was forgiving them, saving him, and giving up to him. Do I have anybody? Y'all don't hear me. Do I have anybody that say, I'm ready to give it up? I'm giving it to him, but I'm going to try to help save him. Oh, come on and say yes. I'm going to forgive them. Oh, come on and give him glory. But they hung him high. They stretched him wide. He died. Oh, come on and say he died. He died till the sun went down and refused to shine. He died to a centurion and preached and said, surely, surely, this is the Son of God. Come on and say yes. This is the Son of God. And when he died, he gave up the ghost, but he didn't stay dead, because early, that's a church word, early, early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in heaven and earth, talked to the disciples, told them to go pray in the upper room. If you want this power that you saw me get up with, you gotta go pray. Do I have anybody that say, I'm going to the upper room? I can't hang in the street. I gotta go to the upper room. Oh, come on and say yes. But there was a lot of people. There was almost 1,000 people that went to the upper room, but only 120 stayed long enough, prayed long enough to be endued with power. Come on and say yeah. So let me tell the church something. There's only about 10% of us that are going to have the power that comes from praying. Come on and say yeah. Anybody know he's all right? Won't he empower you? Won't he bless you? I say, won't he do it? Come on and see, yeah. Anybody know he's all right? I say, ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Say yes. Say yes. Anybody know it? That the Lord is all right. When I say that he's all right, I mean that the Lord is good. I mean that the Lord is fabulous. I mean that the Lord is awesome. And when I say he's all right, you ought to say, yeah, he's all right. Have you tried him? Ain't he all right? Say yes. I know he's all right. I know he's all right. He's all right. Prayer. The first step to revival. We got to pray. If we pray, the devil can't handle us. The devil can't handle a church that's praying. I'm not saying stuff's not going to happen. What I'm saying is that it won't take you over. It won't take you over. You know, and I shared this. I said this on Sunday to our church. I said, you know, we've been glorifying the devil, worrying about what the devil can do, what the devil can do. You know, but if you're covered by the blood, he can only do so much. Let me show you how. Because when God sees the blood, remember that? He don't even do anything. He backs up. So what makes you think the devil can cross the blood and do something? He can't cross unless God let him. He couldn't even cross a hedge. How are you going to cross the blood? Job got a hedge around him. I can't touch him. That wasn't even the blood. Jesus hadn't died yet. If God put a hedge around you, and look, the hedge is the blood. The blood. He said, strike it on the doorpost. Yeah. The problem is we don't put it on our doorpost. We don't put it on our eyes and ears and our mouth. We don't put it on. But God wants us to put it on. Amen. Hallelujah. But we got to get back to praying. Prayer is something that we need to do. If we don't.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every